Paul, an opportunity to get Armia and Matthias out there today. Can you give us an update on their status?
So they moved into non-contact status, and they'll get through a few days of that. And then we'll slowly move them into controlled contact, probably away from practice time, and then into full contact. And once they hit that, it's kind of how they feel the next day. And once they get to good, they've been able to push them fairly well. We're real comfortable with the program that they're under, being it's the same that Brian Little went through. So once they're good to go, they'll be back in. But it's day to day at this point.
Do you think there's a chance for the home games before the Vancouver back-to-back?
I think we're more likely looking at the Vancouver series, and even then I'm not sure.
What was it like to get those couple of days for your group and kind of the chance to get to look at them here again today at practice?
It was good just to get on the ice in a practice and be able to work on some small things, get them back into the rhythm of a practice. And now going forward, we'll be able to get on the ice quite a bit more.
Paul, given what you've learned about playing 30 games in 62 days and or 32 in 60 and all the injuries, are you to the point where you would rethink how you approach game-based gates and practices, whether or not it's wise to do them as vigorously as you have in the past?
Which is vigorous?
Well, it's a morning game-based gate.
No, ours are short. You know, we're at a 12-minute structure on our game-day skates. We got into a rhythm of because of the number of games, you'd like to take the morning skate off after you've had a bit of a practice, but with the injuries out of your lineup hurt you. It's the guys that are playing that are banged up that cause you not to be able to skate. So many of them would come back the next day, and you had to give time for bruises and inflammation to settle down, so you end up skating on the game day. I'd like to get away from morning skates if it fits our group. I don't know that anybody's got a secret of not skating on game days and winning a lot of hockey games because of it.
John Tortorella seems to think that game-day skates are an old idea that's passed its time.
Yeah. John won the Cup in 2003, and he had 19 man games lost to injury at that point. And they played every second day in January, and they never skated on the off days and skated on the on days, so we always change. Having 25 games played, 26 games played, 27, I don't know what their number is, but I know it's about five less than ours, changes things, health changes things.
Can you update us on Tyler Myers, please?
No, other than he's plateaued in his recovery, and we're not seeing enough progress to put him on the ice, and it'll stay there until he gets out of the cycle that he's in and until he feels good, but not until he's not ready to skate yet.
Paul, do you see any advantage in your schedule going forward in that the grind is behind you and you may be facing some teams that are heading into theirs?
Yeah, I think there are a few teams that have a version of what we've had ahead of them. More in March. I think it stacks up for some teams later. Now we just get back to a pretty darn normal NHL schedule. It's 3-4s and 4-6s aren't as big a deal, won't be as big a deal to our group because that was just part of a longer term that we were going through. More practice time will be beneficial for us for sure.
Yeah, can you elaborate on what that can do for you? I know you touched on it.
Oh, I think it brings a consistency to your game a little bit more that you get out and actually get to work on the things that you're showing on video, and especially with so many new guys and so many guys that need to be on the ice to run five-man drills to simulate games, to learn some things. Having more practice time certainly should help.
And just here or there throughout the course of the season, you've talked about, you know, confidence in that, you know, getting a win here, doing this, or getting a goal on the power play, what it can do. How would you describe your team's overall? How would you describe their confidence throughout this stretch that you've gone through?
Reasonable. I think you got to be real careful about looking at any one or two games and having it define who you are. I look at the spectrum of our last week, our last 6 and 9 block. We would go from first 7 periods of the best hockey possibly that we had played through that, even fatigued and somewhat banged up, and then slid into a less structured game. So it's building, I guess, is the best way. The eyes are still right, the focus in the room's still right. And as we can get a little bit above our heads above water here in terms of our freshness, we should be good.
Paul, the NHL hasn't decided yet about Olympic participation. How do you feel about it?
I like the spectacle. It's been great hockey. Early on, I don't know how much when they first started doing it, but I know early on I was really a big believer of the amateur status of the Olympics. It's a pro sport now. I mean, everybody in it does it for a living almost, and it's fun to watch the best on best. I've always enjoyed those tournaments. My experience at the World Cup probably makes me feel more strongly that I'd like to see it. At the same time, I'm just maybe a little sensitive to the idea of a 10-day block in your season and still playing 82 right now. So we'll see. We'll see.
Advantages and disadvantages in schedule is one of them, I guess.
Well, for me it is, but yeah. This isn't about me. It's about fans of hockey at the end of the day. And if we, the first priority has to be NHL fans for us. So it's got to work for the NHL fans and then fans of hockey probably second.
Ovechkin says he's going no matter what. Do you sense there might be other guys like that?
I don't know the answer to that. It's not even on my radar, so I haven't thought a whole lot about it.
So talking to Patrick Laine, asked him just, you know, what happened in the game on Sunday, and if that was put behind him, and he said, well, what happened in the game on Sunday?
Yeah.
Is it that easy for a young player to just put that behind him?
Yeah, we hope so, right? He's a big goal guy. And it's going to be a funny part of the great Patrick Laine story that he'll write over the next 20 years, we hope, maybe more. They'll always have a good time when he reaches his milestone of saying, you know, he scored his 50th tonight, but actually it's his 51st, and they'll show that, and everybody will giggle, and it'll be a great part of his story. It's especially every defenseman has had one he's tried to clear, and he's ripped it right into his net. Maybe not as that goal looked a lot like a lot of his others. It was a hell of a shot. He got all of it and put it right where he wanted to, I guess. Not in his mind, but it looked like it was a shooter's goal.
Is there something about his personality that might allow him to get over that more than maybe some guys might have said so?
Well, you know what? We're all still learning about Patrick. He's got great humility in parts of his game. He has very high expectations for himself on every shift, on every play. So he's very hard on himself. At the same time, I don't sense that he's a player that easily will lose his confidence. He's had a great amount of success, and he has a great belief in his talents, thankfully, that a bad break or however you'll describe that goal isn't going to set him back a whole lot. There are guys that, you know, that are such confidence players that one good thing or one bad thing sends them in a completely different tangent. I don't sense that with him.